everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Zei je de heen, dacht de heen. They tried to colonize us, tried to genocide us, yet we're still here with the tongue unbroken.
What's the way to cut you, hon? What's up, everybody? My name is Khunni. This is the Tongue Unbroken. We are here to talk about Native American language revitalization from the perspective of a Tlingit, Haida, Yupik, and Sami person. I am a professor of Alaska Native Languages at the University of Alaska Southeast. And this is brought to you by the iHeart Media Network. So when we talk about language revitalization here, we're going to talk about a number of different things. Sometimes we're going to talk about the factors that have led up to language loss. And America is a sneaky genocider. So sometimes we're going to be taking a look at some things that have happened, some things that are currently happening, and then some things that need to happen in order to ensure that languages survive. Dr. Michael Krause was a linguist that worked out of the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and he said in an article published in 2009 that we stand to lose more indigenous North American languages in the next 60 years than in the entirety of contact with European colonizers. We need to talk about that. We need to look at that. We need to think about the things that we do on a day-to-day basis that contribute to the genocide of Native American peoples. And then we need to analyze systems, analyze ourselves, analyze our regions, and figure out where we can make the changes needed to ensure that languages live. One of our elders, he said it this way, Kashkawu was his name, Cyril George. He was Kakwedi. That's his clan from a place called Kuk Basket Bay across from Angoon. And what he said translates to this. My prayer will be this. Let our languages live forever. So sometimes on this podcast, we got to talk about the rough stuff. You know, like what led up to this? Native American languages did not fall out of use. They weren't replaced by something that was more modern and useful. They were subject to genocide, a cultural genocide of their peoples, a linguistic genocide of their languages. We have stories that we're going to cover in this podcast, and some of them are very tough. So we're not going to do it right up at the start, because you might just turn this thing off and go find something just to laugh about. But we're going to come back to some of that stuff too. Another one of our elders, his name is Kaklage, Norman James. He's Duklawedi. which is a eagle killer whale clan. The Kakwedi I mentioned earlier is a raven beaver clan. We have certain animals that represent our histories and our interactions with the natural world and the supernatural world. And we use those, and we have Northwest Coast form line design. We put things on totem poles. We put things on boxes. We put things on tunics. We put things on everything to show who we are as a people. And so Kakshage, Norman James, he once said to me, we're speaking Tlingit and we were just having fun. And he said, you know, when I was younger, I used to see the old people in my community. He lives in this place called Carcross up in the Yukon in Canada, which is Tlingit Ani and Tagish Ani. There's a group that's right next to us, a nation. It's called Tagish. Beautiful people up there. So Kakshage is an elder. And he said, when I was younger, I used to look at these old people in the village and I think all they're doing is walking around trying to find someone to laugh with. Then he said, now I'm an old guy, and I look at myself, I'm just doing the same thing. So sometimes we're going to take a look at some stuff that does take our mind off some of the harshness of what Native American people face on a day-to-day basis when it comes to their languages, their sovereignty, their identity. And so sometimes we're going to take a look at some things that just make us feel good, like little babies speaking our languages and giving us that medicine that we need, about adults who are overcoming their own fears and nervousness to become speakers, about people who do a good thing. One of the things that is robbed of our peoples of America, the United States of America, one of the things that is robbed from people is compassion. And the reason that compassion is robbed from people is because the founding documents of federal Indian law. So not talking about the Constitution, not talking about the Bill of Rights, but there had to be the birth of federal Indian law. And federal Indian law in the United States says, we have the right to dispossess Native American peoples. We have the right to their land. We have the right to their resources. And eventually we have the right to control whether or not they live or die as an entire culture, as an entire language. So sometimes we're going to take a look at some of these things, the aspects of colonization, decolonization, what all of this stuff means, systemic racism, how all of this plays a role. But this isn't just anywhere USA. So this is located on Tlingit Ani, in a place called Ak, the Ak Kwan, the people of the Little Lake. Some people might call it Juneau, Alaska. I don't know who that is. It was called Ak before it was called Juneau. And the Ak Kwan consists of two main clans. The Yuchtetan, who claim a raven dog salmon, and the Wushkitan, who claim an eagle shark. And so you'll notice I'm sometimes saying raven, sometimes saying eagle. Those are the two main sides of our clans. So the way our social structure works is there's kind of these two main sides. There's the raven side, although if you go to inland Tlingit people, they'll call it the crow side. Then there's the eagle side. If you go inland, they call it the wolf side. So those are two opposing sides. And not that they're against each other, but they are considered opposites. And you need to marry your opposite. If you're a male, your children will usually be your opposite, because our entire identity flows through our mothers. We're a matrilineal people. You are what your mother is. That's where you inherit your identity. So sometimes we're going to talk about things that are local to the Tlingit people. Sometimes we're going to talk about our beloved neighbors just to the south, the Haida people, as my people as well, as my language as well, and also the Tsimshian peoples. And we're going to talk about things that we're doing together to try and help each other out. And sometimes we're going to talk about things that are specific to Tlingit and what kinds of things are going on. Then, you know, we're going to widen our view a little bit. We might look at what's going on in Alaska, what kinds of things should be going on in Alaska. And then sometimes we're going to go way out. What's going on all across North America? What's going on across the world when it comes to indigenous languages? The idea here is to have multiple sort of viewpoints and focuses and topics And so to get started, we're just going to talk about living languages, what a beautiful thing that is. There are about 7,000 languages in the world, but unfortunately, a lot of those languages are dying. About 40% of those languages are endangered. And so when we look at endangered languages, we look at a couple of things. We say, one, how many people speak it? That gives us an idea of sort of what kinds of things to start looking at beyond that. Sometimes the numbers thing. And sometimes you might say, okay, are there 1,000 speakers or 100, 10, 1? But then other times you might say, well, what percentage of the population speaks? Because you might only have 300 speakers, but maybe there's 400 people. So that's actually pretty good as long as they can maintain that, those levels. But the other times we'll look at, do children speak? Do parents raise the children in the language? Can children speak the language or can they only understand it? Do they not understand it at all? Has there been a generation or more where the language has not been transmitted intergenerationally? Intergenerational transmission. That's usually what we're looking for. We're looking to either maintain that or to restore it. So some of the terms that we'll use when we're talking about language revitalization sometimes depend on the health of the language. So if the language is healthy, so you have lots of speakers, it's spoken in lots of places, it's spoken between generations, then your focus is usually language stability, just to hold on and maintain a place of strength. If your language is in decline, so your speakers, the numbers might be low, children might not be speaking, it might not be spoken in a bunch of different places, then we're going to focus on language revitalization, which means we're pulling it back up to a place of strength. Sometimes it's called reversing language shift. And so language shift usually means for indigenous peoples, you are shifting from fluency and knowledge and communication in an indigenous language and slowly shifting towards bilingualism and then slowly shifting towards monolingualism in a colonial language. And sometimes it's not slow. Sometimes it's just a matter of one or two generations. So then another category exists, which is if nobody is speaking the language currently, especially on a day-to-day basis as a means of communication, what we call a medium. Is it what people use to talk about their day, talk about what they're doing, talk about their thoughts, their dreams, their emotions, their feelings? If that's not happening, then we're looking at language revival. And there are languages who are coming back, Wampanoag, Wayamya. We look at these languages and we sometimes we'll talk to some people. So we're going to try and reach out to folks and see what they got going on and see what kinds of things that they want to talk to us about when it comes to language revitalization. That might involve some things that they struggle with, and it might involve some things that they have figured out to turn the corner. But the other thing that sometimes we need to talk about is to step outside of the realm of specifically languages and look at structural racism, look at colonialism, look at things like blood quantum, appropriation. And so these things are related because there's an awful lot that colonialism does to devalue people, to dehumanize people, and to erase them, especially for indigenous peoples. You know, so the perspective that we're going to look at here is usually what's going on in North America, and then what's going on in Alaska, and then what's going on in Tlingit Ani, the land of the Tlingit peoples. So I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're listening. And I'm so glad that I have an opportunity to share these moments and these thoughts. Today, what we're going to try and do in this episode, we just did sort of like this opening, boom, episode one, here we go, let's get started. Let's, you know, keep the energy up because some of this stuff is, it's hard. It's hard to look American genocide right in its face and say, no, we'll do something different from this point forward. And that means we got to talk sometimes about allyship. We got to talk about what people do. Are you a tourist? Do you just live in some land and not even understand that there's something else there? There's an indigenous language of that place. Do you know what the language is where you live? Do you know anything about it? Could you understand it when people said something to you? Could you say something to someone else? Are you committed to making sure that that language lives? Because if you live in America, you slip into a role. And the role is not as simple as one or the other. But in some ways, if you're not doing something about it, then you're probably contributing to the death of an indigenous language. Because this is what we have. That's what we call the hegemony. Or if you speak a different dialect than me, the hegemony. Where you had this active genocide, where languages were prohibited. Children were tortured for speaking their language. People were shamed. There's all kinds of active movements to totally displace the language and to devalue it. In addition, spiritual practices, the ability to hunt and fish and educate your people the way you want to, those were all prohibited. Cultural ceremonies prohibited. Somebody told me the other day, it's America. People have always been free to do what they want. And that is absolutely not true. Especially for Native American peoples, especially for African American peoples, especially for lots and lots of peoples, including our LGBTQ plus community. But we're going to advocate for change. We're not just going to sit here and tell you what's wrong. We're going to talk about what kinds of things need to change and what kind of things people have changed to create a different reality. We reject manifest destiny in all of its forms, historically and currently, that this is what was supposed to happen, that this is a good thing to happen. And by this, I mean the elimination, the annihilation of hundreds of Native American languages. At the time of contact, you're looking at well over 500 languages that have a long and rich history tied to specific places. Some of these languages, like Tlingit, were around when there was the mammoth was walking around. The saber-toothed tiger was walking around. And so just like thinking of this stuff, they were here, we were here, they're gone, we're still here, and we're going to be here. So at other times, we're going to talk to some folks, we're going to bring some folks in here to just have a conversation, talk story. I was very fortunate to get a PhD in Hawaiian and Indigenous Language and Cultural Revitalization from Kahakaʻula o Ke Ilikelani College of Hawaiian Language at the University of Hawaii at Hilo. I made wonderful, wonderful friends there, colleagues, people who have unbelievable courage and ability and determination. And they have this thing called koleana, that it's their responsibility to share what they have done and share the knowledge of how they did it with others so that it can be adopted, replicated, utilized. What we want to see is beautiful living languages all across North America. If you're here, you're hanging out, you're in. Ha'in chisati, you're with us. We're going to be united. We're going to be a single thing trying to do this stuff. So sometimes we'll be looking at what do we need to be inspired? What do we need to sort of build things systemically and say 30 years from now, we're going to be able to predict what's going to happen because we are going to manifest it into being, which is tough. Sometimes it's tough stuff, but that's what we're here for. Other times we're going to look right at this sneaky, ugly, terrible thing. That's colonialism and genocide. That doesn't mean that people aren't welcome here. We're not discriminated against people. I saw someone the other day said, well, talking about being unvaccinated and saying we're the most hated and discriminated group since slavery. That kind of stuff is garbage. I mean, you might feel bad, but you don't have to use such hyperbole that you try to diminish the incredible suffering of peoples. And we're not talking about ancient history. This ain't going back to the mammoth as well. I worked with elders ever since I started learning Tlingit. Some of them 90 years old. Yeah, 90. And, you know, they passed away a few years ago. Love them. Shikshani Marge Dudson. Beautiful human being. So brave, so intelligent, so wonderful. And she told me what happened when she went to school. She was 5 years old. She lived this torture. We were tortured, is what she told me. We were tortured. And sometimes we're going to take a look at this stuff, and we'll give some trigger warnings, and we'll also talk about what can you do to heal from this stuff? What can you do to move on so that the trauma is not something you carry on a day-to-day basis? It doesn't mean you just forget it, but you engage in cultural ceremonies. You engage with generations to let go of some stuff that might be holding you back as a people. And so sometimes we're going to look at this stuff too from these different perspectives. Say, there's like a little cup of coffee. We call it the micro. And this is individuals and families. What can they do? What can they do to make sure that their indigenous language is the language of power and use? A lot of that comes down to choices. If you're not speaking your indigenous language right now, you are going to have to rearrange your life. And it means you have to be around people who are speaking it and learn it. And you have to create a whole different sense of time and being. But it's okay, you could do it. Then sometimes we're going to look at this medium cup of coffee, the meso. And this is looking at institutions, organizations, communities, regions. What kinds of things need to change at that level in order to ensure that the languages survive? And this is often normalization. And we're going to talk about all these terms, what this stuff means. You have to be a linguist to be here. You are what we need to keep going. Everybody's going to bring something to the table. And you know what? This table is set. One of my ancestors, Donna Walk Huston Hammond, he said he had a dream. And in this dream, a whole bunch of elders sitting in this room who were passed away when he was younger. They got all their favorite foods. They're just waiting. That's what's going on. All those ancestors, they're there with all those foods. They've made it for you. And they're looking at you. They're saying, Haku chunk, haku, hachani qanu, hachani qanu. They say, come here, grandchild, come here. Come sit by us. Come sit by us. And we're going to sit by them. And we're going to sit together. And sometimes we're going to get ready to get up out of our chairs and go do something. Go change something. Go make something. You got to clear a path for someone that was cleared for you. And we're going to do this stuff together. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad this has started. This is just the beginning. Episode 1. It's going to drop. We got a lot more to do. But right now, we're going to go take a break. Someone's got to keep the lights on. Someone's got to keep this thing going. And they can tell you who they are right now. We're thankful for our sponsors. Thankful to iHeart Media Network. And I say we, even though it's right now, it's just me sitting here talking to you. But there's a team behind this. There's people. The Next Up Initiative, Anna Hosnier, Joelle Monique, they put this together. They thought, we're in the door. We're holding this door open. We're going to go get some people and bring them through this door. And if you can make something happen, if you have figured out a way to do something, you hold that door open for others. Sometimes the things in this world will show you this is for you. You got to get as much as you can. No. This is for you. You got to prepare it for the future generations. That's what we're going to do together. Gonna cheesh. Thank you. We'll be back in a minute. What's happening, baby? This colonization shit got you down. You got to get on this decolonization groove. Yeah. It's time for language revitalization all across North America. The land of the language coming back into the hands of future generations where it all belongs. Rise up and have your voices be heard. Defeat all the colonial forces that try to hold you down.
Sports Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Ak Hasakawa Akh Edach Hasawus I Ajit Yutas Awas Ek Hayuk Atungi Hastutawasaguik Atkitai Haskawus Kai Yahakusti Kashas Haya Wutlak Kua Kashas Awasku Has to eat a key dich hawus tea. Ask to yahaya tea. Yahashishko has our has to a dach. Hayatki had the chankisani has to reinaka quada hayuk a tongue. Ye woo tea, ye ya tea, ye quati. Chatler. Kakasti Klingit.
Welcome back. You could hear them at the end of that song saying, Yiko Ayach One! Yiko Ayach One! Be of brave heart. Be of brave heart. In our language, in our culture, you yell out at people when they need help. You help them out. Welcome back. So glad you're here. I had to say it twice. You know, you stuck around through these parts. So what we're going to talk about now is the Tlingit people. We're going to ground this into a specific place. We're going to talk about a few other people in Alaska. And I want to start by translating what I said after the break. So what I said after the break was, long ago, they tried to wash it out of our mouths. They tried to pour it just underneath the soil, our way of life. But they couldn't defeat us. They didn't know that we're seeds in the remains of our ancestors. We're like a forest. And we're going to make sure that the language flows through the mouths of future generations. So for a lot of indigenous languages, what we're looking at here is, can we get the babies to talk? Can we get the babies to talk? Can we get the adults to start healing, living a life that has a little bit less damage to one another, damage to the self? When we take a look at Alaska Native people, we see a lot of problems. We see a lot of difficulties. We see some of the highest, if not the highest, rates of suicide in the country. Iguaihuan, be of brave heart. We're going to turn this thing around. We're going to change the narrative. Because right now, suicide has been the leading cause of death for Alaska Native youth. And it's time for that to stop. So when we come back to this song, so we've gone through a couple movements here in this episode one. And one thing that I want to come back to is identity. Kachakte. Walter Soboloff was an elder who lived to be 102 years old, spoke wonderful Tlingit, wonderful English, was such a kind, beautiful person. And he told us, the people who know who they are don't kill themselves. And sometimes people ask me, they say, well, what do you think's going on? And colonization is a hell of a thing. It's a hell of a thing. So I was hanging out with some folks from Hawaii. They're on the Hokulea crew, the Pacific Island Voyaging Society. One of them, his name is Uncle Billy. And we were just having this conversation about colonization. And the way he broke it down is he says, there's like these four pillars, these four things. They eliminated the warrior societies. They made it illegal for the men to gather, to strength train, to do the things that they did to prepare themselves to protect their communities. They raped and murdered the women. They still do. They still do. They separate the people from their language, and they separate the people from the land. Then you conduct what's called inward banishment, where you cannot be yourself. It was legislated out. It was illegal to be a Native American. And what they did is they said, now you have to be us. But then at the same time, they said, you can't be us because you're not as good as us. There's remnants of all this stuff. There's remnants of this. As we sort of look at how things work in education, we look at there's all kinds of echoes and ghosts from all of this stuff of white supremacy and attempted indigenous genocide. So let's start by rooting ourselves in Tlingit Ani. I am Double Eagle Kegani Haida. The language of our people is Hatkil. That's my grandmother's people. My grandfather's people are Tlingit. We are Shukach Adi. We identify with the raven sockeye crest. We're from this place called Tlkut. Some people call it Chilkut. So I guess starting with the land, if Tlingit land stretches on the northwest coast in what is now southeast Alaska and also northwestern Canada, if Tlingit Ani collectively were a state in the United States, it would be about 26th, 27th largest state in the United States. So it's a sizable chunk of land. a lot of people, a lot of clans, a lot of migrations. Two main sort of components to the culture, which is people who live on the ocean and people who live in the interior. Itkalingit live on the ocean. Dakkalingit live in the interior. So there's a bit of a cultural difference there, but it's one language. One language with several dialects. The dialects are important, but they don't prohibit people from talking to each other at all. Tlingit people, we are known visually for Chilkat blankets, woven baskets, longhouses, totem poles, dugout canoes. That's all us. That's all Northwest Coast peoples. We traded. We intermarried. We traveled. Sometimes we fought. So the Tlingit peoples, from a cultural perspective, are broken into two different sides. So you are what your mother is. You inherit a clan through your mother. And that clan belongs to what in English we call a moiety. And so you can be either the eagle or the wolf side, or the raven or the crow side, and you're supposed to marry into the opposite side. The Tlingit peoples, we've been dealing with Tlaitqa, we've been dealing with colonizers for quite some time. We're looking at early to mid 1700s when a lot of the contact was beginning to happen, and then a huge shift with a war between Xitkaquan, the people of Sitka, and the Russians. Not long after that, well, I guess maybe 60 years after that, perhaps, Alaska is sold to the United States, and it becomes a territory of the United States of America. So at that point, there is a shift. There's a decided shift as education goes from bilingual education, which is what the Russians had in a lot of places going on, to monolingual in English. And then also it begins this transition of beginning to outlaw the Tlingit language, to outlaw the Tlingit culture. There were times in the early 1900s where Tlingit people were not considered citizens of the United States. They could not claim land. They could not vote. They could not decide where to send their kids to school. They did not have reservations, like sometimes some places in the lower 48. They were able to maintain a lot of their original communities, but they were not able to retain their ability to speak their language. It is well documented what has happened to our peoples when they went to school. A lot of them experienced abuse and torture, a lot of times for just being themselves. Five-year-old kids going to school, getting picked up by their hair, shaken, getting stuffed chemicals, rags that are soaked in chemicals stuffed into their mouths for speaking their language, getting beaten, getting told to go put their tongue on a frozen flagpole, all kinds of stuff. And these aren't just stories from our native peoples. I talked to elders who went through this stuff, who saw this stuff, who told me about this stuff. But there are also white school teachers who wrote books about this to brag about what they did, soaking rags and chemicals and stuffing it into kids' mouths because they're speaking their own language. So one of the things that we need to understand in North America is that Native American language loss is a product of American genocide of Native American peoples. It was regulated. It was enforced. It came from government. It came from churches. And so sometimes we're going to talk in this podcast, we're going to bring some people in to talk to us about accountability for this. You can't just do stuff and then watch people die because of what you've done. So we got some work to do. And we're going to talk as well. What's the role of everybody here? And not every language is the same. Some languages will say, you're not from our people. You don't speak our language. This is ours. Others say, everybody here should learn it. Like if you go to a lot of different countries, you learn the language of that country if you want to go stay there. So there's a couple sort of things that I tend to tell people. Because sometimes I have colleagues where I work and they say, I really love what you're talking about, what you're doing. I just don't know if it's for me. And what does that mean? And sometimes I say, well, you got some choices. And because of so much stuff that has happened before you, the way things have been set up, it's not just free, free-flowing choice. I can just be me and not affect other people. Because there's too much stuff in motion now. So that means you could be a tourist and just float around the land and wander, be awed by it, and be somewhat oblivious to some of the things that are going on. Or you could be a colonizer, which in actuality is a genocider. And that's either conscious or not. Conscious meaning, yeah, there should only be English. And we should get rid of these other things. And there's still people who say that today. The passive genocider understands what's happening, but doesn't do anything. This is sometimes called white silence. There's some things that we're going to talk about. Not today. Today, we're just going to just break this ice. We're going to start hammering the ice. And sometimes I'm going to switch to Tlingit. It roots me into some of my thought. Some of the thoughts of my ancestors and some of the things that they're sometimes hard to say. So I'll say them in Tlingit because then that will help me to say it in English. But for now, we're going to take another transition and we're going to come back and we're going to do my first interview, which is with my little babies. It's kind of a mess, but you know what? We're just getting started. I am connected to a lot of people working in languages in a lot of different places. I got a PhD in Hawaii. I've got some wonderful friends and colleagues who are there. I've made friends with folks who are working in languages all across North America, a lot of them in Alaska. And I'm going to reach out, try and get them to have some conversations. We might talk about blood quantum. We might talk about the willingness to communicate. We might talk about transforming the social fabric so that we can elevate the prestige of our languages. And we might talk about how do we overcome generations of trauma from people. You know, this other elder, she told me, her name is Tleustla Ida Kalmegan. She said, you know what? Nobody ever hit me for speaking my language. But I had this one school teacher, every time I saw her, I was just a little girl. I'd see her. She was white. She'd call me over. She'd say to me, you know, you people, you think you're just as good as us, but you never will be. You're a second-class citizen, and you always will be. This is a colonizer standing on land that she has no ancestral connection to, talking to a noble person who is born of the land, of the people, of the language, talking that nonsense. And this was not an isolated incident, and this was someone who was just blabbing out what a lot of people were thinking and a lot of people were saying, probably in smaller circles. So sometimes we're going to have to talk about this fake concept, this lie that is white supremacy. And we're going to have to look at this thing in a bunch of different ways because this is an ugly beast. It's an ugly beast. But hang out, stick with it. We're going to listen to some kids talk. And I try not to hold my kids up too high, but they can understand our language. They can speak it. They don't speak it that much, but we'll get into that right after we take another break. Whatever you're doing, if you're working in indigenous languages, this is made for you. And you should get a hold of me and we should hang out. We should figure out how to fix this whole damn thing. Little bits at a time. That little tiny cup, a bigger cup, and that big old bucket of a cup. Gunchish. Once I thought about a million birds all around the world sharing their songs, thinking about the ways they have lived and they're gonna live. And this is the way. Get away.
ye kukach tu stig, wu chin yakach tu tlaq.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Thank you so much for listening to me. Listening is a precious thing. My wife and I have tried to raise our three children with the Tlingit language. And so this episode is going to conclude with an interview with them, starting from the youngest to the oldest. Thank you to my children. They do a lot that we ask of them, and we're very proud. We're sending them to culture camps. They're learning with lots of other kids. So I hope you come back. I hope we can talk. I hope you'll listen more. This has been The Tongue Unbroken. What's that you do, Asak?
My name is Kaja.
Kunsa'i katagu.
I am 6 years old.
Tlingit ke isaku.
Yeah.
Dasa isaku hayuk atangi dat. Kosh ka'i shatu. Tlik a tlingit sa'i. Vashi yatiyak. Tlikat yuhan. Dush aya cat.
Dush is cat.
Kunl chish. Achi ge isaku.
Yeah.
Haji is kegeshi.
Short. Yai slash yai yani gira
Eke. Kunsa eketagu?
8.
Dasa isa kuha yuk atangidat.
Tuk.
Eke. Wanak saya yuk eawe ha yuk atangi.
Because our people did good things for others and animals, and the Great Khan came and tried to damage their language so they couldn't speak it.
Wanaxaya hatuasagu kai tushatuu hayukatangi.
Because less people are starting to speak it and it's starting to pass away.
We yukatangi kuti ayebutian. Datyaxawe. Wishkun just lingitri nach ayig.
It was funny.
Adu insa ayebuti.
My bestie Anza and some of my other friends.
Ichun kian tlingit reinach yu has kreetla atge.
Yes.
Wan galins we ka yeya wa ka. Tlesh a atine chat uti tlingit. Just let ka reinach yag. Wanach saya tlesh a yachuti.
Because tlingit is important to us and we've been speaking it for more than 100 years.
Isiku ge gwalllingit ghenach yw gheye taani. Ya hallil gohas hasta tuu yillet a. Gunil chish gdein kaya aago. Wasa hasta iich gachtu dishi. Gwall chagud yadgi hasta tawasagu. Gwall ye waka. Llingit ach tawasagu chwasakuu. Wasa ye gwati.
You could get in classes. Because it's important to us and we don't want it to pass away. We're
going
to have to speak another language. And we've been speaking this one for years, so it's important to us.
Dasai tawasagu atlin ku'u has awasku'u hayukatangi dat.
Pink is lul.
Gunalchish. Yike, hucha.
Okay.
Gunalchish achin chisati. Wasa idu saku.
That case aya ach sak jag nach chatsati dakhluwedi ayachat lugachadi yadi ayachat chukat kwan ayachat. I'm Kayana Twitchell. My Tlingit name is Kash Case. I'm from the dakhluwedi clan. I'm Igo Moyeri. I am from Chilkatquan, and my dad is Raven Sardine.
Sardine was action.
My dad is Raven Starfish. Raven.
God.
God.
Sockeye.
Oh, my dad is Raven Sockeye, and that makes me Luka Khadiyadi. And I'm from the Chilkat Kwan. My clean house is in Chilkat Kwan.
Kuni naksa ye eji, hayukatangi isaku.
Not many people know our language. I think only like, I don't know. 1/12 of the world knows our language. But now I'm using fractions, which is going to make me start getting dizzy and pass.
Only
40 people. We need our language because it's an important part in the Alaskan culture, and people have depended on us for years for trading and other stuff like that.
Adusa ii outletu yukatunk.
My dad teaches me Tlingit and my teachers at school.
Chakwe kwalchakut ku'u.
I feel very angry and sad and heard that people thought that they could just come and teach everyone else to talk their language only, or like only speaking their language was a real language. He said that once his friend told him that he went to school and he spoke Tlingit, and the teacher told him to come here. And then the teacher grabbed him by his hair and shook him around and told him he couldn't speak Tlingit anymore or else she would hit him.
What say you to which of that?
I feel very hurt by that because I don't think people should be allowed to do that when their language is just another real thing and our language is just another real thing too.
Acho a kanachoi has to tu yik e Tlingit chinach yu has kewatani. Wasa a tlin ku u has to igachtit le tu ayukatangi.
I think we could teach lots of people the language by having more resources and more videos and books and more podcasts and stuff.
Acho a ye has ya waka. Jakuksa ye chet ye ti.
Well, I would probably say that you might not need Tlingit everywhere around the world these days, or even around Alaska, but it might be important, and it'll be very important to our culture, and it'll be respecting and learning our culture, and lots of people will appreciate that. If we didn't have our language, then our culture and so many other cultures in Alaska would not be around, or they would just disappear, and then I don't know what we'd do.
Wait. Tlingitani tukwani. Yasta katka, tlingitani ka. Dasi tuasagu hasawasku hadat.
Tlingit is kind of split into two main groups. There are the eagle and the raven groups. I am eagle. And then there are other animals scattered amongst there. There's like killer whale eagle and sockeye raven. And I don't know, frog raven and beaver eagle raven, I don't know.
Kaji yasake kekrishi yata achwasa nukwik and the yadi achla achat yosaka idli day. Cook?
No.
Cook?
No.
Kas ujinga?
Yeah.
Okay. Tlaik deg nans. Achwasa nu kwekande tzadji yadi. Ach tlachat yau se ka itli de. Has tu in kanan ik leid ka genach da sawe?
I picked up a bumblebee baby and my mom said, stop it.
Gunnish chish, huchi aye, da sae tu asagu yuri atani. That'll do it for this episode, folks. Episode number 1 is in the books. If you live somewhere in North America, check out what's going on with Indigenous languages near you. See how you can be supportive. See how you can learn more, do more, say more, change more. In the meantime, those of you working in languages, keep on going. Check in here for regular updates, conversations, talking about how we're going to stabilize, revitalize, and restore Indigenous languages in North America. The Tongue Unbroken is part of the iHeartMedia Next Up initiative. You should check out other Next Up podcasts, such as Beauty Translated and Black Fat Femme. There will be 5 more new shows coming out from the Next Up initiative, so watch for those. Atlin Gunalchish, Anna Hosnier, Joel Monique, and Yesenia Medeyan. Thank you so much. The Tongue Unbroken is produced by Daniel Goodman. Gunalchish Tlay Nachiti Deshiyi. Big thanks for helping me. You could find Tongue Unbroken on social media, and you could find me on social media under Khone or Du Ani Kau Danuk. I'd be happy to help you spell those, so reach out. Let's chat. Catch you next time. Gunalchish.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.